What can a sincere believer in the Lord Jesus Christ expect in this year 2000? What can a faithful church expect in the coming year? The Lord Himself answers that question. He said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." John 16:33. Again, He said, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my sake." The Lord is telling us that there can never be a union between believers and unbelievers, between the wicked world and the true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason for this is not because of anything in ourselves, but because of Christ. The Lord said to us in John 15:19, "If ye were of the world," that is, spiritually belong to a fallen world, "the world would love its own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore this world hateth you." If you are one who courts the favor and the approval of the present world of sin, you cannot be His disciple. All who live godly in Christ Jesus must expect to be reproached, ridiculed, and hated for His sake. They shall be called the offscouring of the world. That hatred will become even more pronounced in this year as the end of the world draws near. The Lord taught us that as the days of sin grow darker and sin abounds and the love of many grows cold and His word is rejected, that this hatred will grow in its intensity. The hatred of a religious world, a false religious world, a hatred which will be experienced even in one's own family by their brothers and sisters, by their children and parents. But we believe that all things are directed of God. We believe that the Scriptures teach us that there must be this manifestation on earth, that there is no spiritual union between Christ and the devil, between those who are of Christ and those who yet belong to a fallen world. Are you standing as a believer in the love of God and in the truth of His word? Do you love that truth and love that word? Is it very plain to those around you that you walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ? You do not deny Him? Then, says the Lord, for His sake you can expect also this, that you shall be hated for His sake. But do not be discouraged, for the Lord said, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." Look to His promise, that He will also give you grace, that you might stand and speak and be faithful. The Lord calls us today in His word to endure unto the end. You may find those words for yourself in Mark chapter 13, the verses 9 through 13. There the Lord said, "He that shall endure unto the end shall be saved." Hear those words. The word endure means to abide under, to bear up courageously, to bear under the strain. The Lord is considering the place of His children in the world as we await His return. And He says that that place may be summed in the word endure, bear up under the strain which will be brought to bear against your faith. The Lord did not picture the place of His true believers in this present world as a joyride. He did not look at it as a time to kick up our feet and to wait for the Lord's return with a little R&R in this present world. The Lord did not say, "As you await my return, go about to seek your fortune, have a blast, and at the end you will be whisked away to a higher level of spirituality." That's nonsense. Is that the way that you look at your place in this world as a confessing believer? Do you look at your life as simply one who's similar to the world in most respects, except that you have this insurance, this spiritual insurance, that when the end comes, the Lord will bring you to Himself? The Lord said, all who belong to Him will endure. In the words of Hebrews chapter 10, they shall go through a great fight of afflictions. They shall be subjected to pressures and stress against their faith. they must be given my grace in order that they bear up and endure unto the end. Well, endure against what? From the Lord's words in Mark chapter 13, the answer is very plain. Endure against the great opposition directed against all who have attachment to Christ by faith and who confess his word and gospel. The Lord said, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Ye shall be delivered up to trials for a testimony of my gospel." The Lord is saying that faithful adherence to him and faithful adherence to his word and gospel will bring strong, frightening, and cutting opposition. There is no way to escape his words. The idea of many in the church that we may expect a universal, general acceptance of Christ on the part of the world, and a general victory of the gospel and the entrance of a Christian age, this is a false doctrine. It is not the truth of God's word. The Scripture teaches very plainly, the Lord teaches without mistake, that there shall always be opposition to the treasure of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God is unmistakable. His word is as a sharp, two-edged sword to save or to invoke the deepest resentments and hatred against whoever would confess that word. Opposition will come especially when the church and when you stand faithful to publish, to testify, to witness, and the church to preach that gospel. When the grace of God works within your heart, the wonder of all wonders that you submit to the word of God and you find in Jesus Christ your full salvation, then the Lord says, "Watch out! As the end of the world draws near, there shall be increased, mounting opposition against you." Look at the Lord's words. Read them yourself. Mark 13, verse 9. "But take heed to yourselves." And why? Well, the Lord goes on. "For they will deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten," that is, flogged, "and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them." They will deliver you up. They will try to intimidate you. They will try to move you away from your confession of the gospel. You will be brought before religious authorities and civil authorities. Before the Jewish synagogues, for sure, the apostles in the early church were flogged, even as Paul. Before the Jewish council and Peter and John, religious authorities, that is, those who take the name of Christ but despise his gospel and teach that salvation is by man's work and will, they shall oppose you. And that has continued throughout history. At the time of the Reformation of the Church, the Reformers were burnt at the stake, and today there are those who are militant against the true Church of Christ, imprisoning those who would witness of Jesus Christ, laws calculated to put the believer in fear regarding the proper discipline of his children, and on we could go. As the end grows near, it shall become worse and worse. The Lord said there shall be the betrayal of family members. Now brother shall betray brother unto death, the father the son, the children shall rise up against their parents, he said, and shall cause them to be put to death. Natural ties. Ties that we would look to for allegiance, trust, and loyalty. They shall be shattered because of Christ. As Cain killed Abel, as Absalom sought to kill David, as Athaliah, the wicked queen, sought to kill all the royal seed of Judah, so the believer shall experience in this present life. There's nothing so painful, there's nothing so agonizing, there is nothing so crushing as when we see the sword of Christ's word divide even in our own flesh and blood, when one brother, one father, one child turns in hatred against you for Christ's sake. The Lord said, not only shall it be on a personal level, but it shall be universal. Ye shall be hated of all men, for my sake. The word hatred means hatred. It does not mean love less. What is the warning of Christ? It is this: all who will confess attachment to him and to his word must be ready for this opposition, strong, hateful, murderous opposition to him and his word. Not just a surface irritation, not just a polite difference of opinion, but you will experience the opposition of a world of unbelief. Why? The reason is plain. The true biblical gospel will always be hated by mankind, both religious and non-religious, for it is only by grace, when our hearts have been opened, that we see its beauty. Unless the grace of Almighty God and the power of the Holy Spirit slay your proud heart and resurrect in its place a new heart of love for God, there will be and can only be opposition to Christ's gospel and word. When Christ came to the synagogue of Nazareth, and we read of that in Luke chapter 4, and he preached to them that on that day the scriptures were fulfilled, and he spoke to them of God's way of showing mercy to Naaman and the widow of Zarephath, that God would save through Jesus Christ, by grace alone. Then what did the people do that day? Well, they tried to cast him off the cliff. When Paul came to Corinth, and he saw both Jew and Greek, and he knew that there was a deep-seated enmity against the gospel, he wasted no time attempting to make a gospel attractive to man's standards. He did not simply try to avoid all offensiveness in his message, but he preached the word, and the result was opposition. Why? Because the gospel of God's grace exposes as our problem sin. It tells you that you have a problem, and your problem is sin against God. You are someone who is filled with pride. You of yourself and I of myself are a stench in God's nostrils. We have nothing, and we can do nothing. We can only be saved by God's grace through the dying of another, the Lord Jesus Christ, who dies for us. And apart from grace, we will not humble ourselves under the judgment of God. That's why. This is very humbling, but it's very comforting. Very comforting because we find in this Lord Jesus Christ all of our salvation. We find that living in attachment to him by the gift of faith is life eternal. And therefore, Christ is more important than anything else. More important than this world. For his sake, we stand ready to endure whatever hatred comes against us. Do you love him? Do you love him as Savior, Lord, and Redeemer? When other girls ridicule you for how you dress, because you want to dress purely, when other guys ridicule you because you will not drink, because you believe your body is the Lord's, when other people at work ridicule you for going to church on Sunday, do you confess him? Do you speak of the wonder of his love to you? Or do you join your fellow workers at the office around, wherever it is around, and when they tell the dirty jokes, and when they give their exploits of the weekend, do you join in? Do you laugh? Or do you confess him? The name of your Savior. Jesus said, the world will love its own. Live by faith in Christ, and you shall receive opposition. But the Lord said this opposition has a purpose. The purpose is that it may turn to you for a testimony. That's what the Lord said in Mark chapter 13. The Lord was saying there that those who hate him and hate his word think that they are in control, but they are not. The Bible teaches us in Psalm 20, verse 7, that even the wrath of man shall praise God, that it shall fulfill God's designs. And so God says, through this opposition, I create a marvelous opportunity in order that you may witness of me and of the Great One of all the earth, that we might stand and give a testimony. We read in Acts 23, verse 11, this word of God to Paul, who has been imprisoned. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness in Rome. The evil treatment and the threats that are being brought against you, Paul, are being used in my mighty hand to provide the way of testimony, testimony before all the world. And so God says to you as a believer, walk godly in Christ Jesus, do His will, and believe that God directs your moments in order that He may give you an opportunity to speak of the life and of the hope and of the love of God in your heart, that you may testify of that which is true and real. Very often, those moments will come to us not in the way of our choosing, not in the way of our planning, and they will not come very often before cheering and accepting crowds, sessions of Congress. But the Lord says it may well come in a prison cell or in a courtroom. Christ promises that He will give us grace to speak. He says, Do not meditate ahead of time what ye shall speak, for whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Don't abuse that verse that I just read to you in Mark 13, verse 11. There are some who have abused that verse and said, well, ministers ought not to study. They should not labor over syntax and grammar and the original languages. They should not try to construct a edifying sermon. They can just get up there and open the Bible and the Holy Spirit will fill their mouth. Well, I must tell you that if that's the case, the only thing the Holy Spirit has ever said to me, if I tried to preach a sermon that way, was, you have been negligent. You have been lazy. No, our calling is always to study and to immerse ourselves in the Word of God, and to take that word, in the words of Psalm 119, verse 9, to hide that word into the deepest recesses of our hearts. But the promise is this, that at that moment when we are unsettled emotionally and filled with fear and terror, the Lord says, don't be anxious, don't bite your nails, but in calm reliance on the faithfulness of God, believe that God will give you the words to speak. The Lord whom you serve is able to deliver you, to give you words, even when hatred is before you, even when the word of your God is being misrepresented and maligned, even when it seems impossible that you shall receive a fair hearing. Don't sit there wondering, doubting, anxious, but believe that by virtue of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, He has brought you to that point, and He will give you the words to speak. Don't look to yourself, but believe that the Lord will now work through you. Nothing is ever going to stop the spread of the gospel. That gospel, says the Lord, shall be published among all nations. There's something that's wonderful in the Lord's words. Let me read it again. Mark 13, verse 10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. I hear there the unshakable certainty of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel must be preached. Later on in verse 31 of the chapter, he'll say, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. There is no power that exists that can thwart, silence, or extinguish the gospel. No matter if all the world's mighty assemble together, no matter if the mainstream of thought be atheistic, immoral, proud man, no matter if all men and women gather together to banish to oblivion the thus saith of the God, The Bible says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision." There is one invincible power on earth. There is one cause that shall not go down to defeat in this present world. Only one. The Holy Gospel. God by His Word. In the midst of the opposition of a world of unbelief, will gather His church and send forth His Word to save. And therefore, we say with the Apostle, "I am not ashamed of the Gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile." What is our calling in this year? The calling of the Church of Jesus Christ is this: preach the Word. Whatever comes, your church must not be moved from the primacy of the preaching of the gospel to the ends of the earth. The Lord speaks of the fact that there shall be disheartening and disruptive things that we can expect before He returns. He says that before He return, there will be a general carelessness which will fall in among many. The love of many will wax cold. People who once had a conscience which smote them if they missed church and didn't read the Bible. People who used to jump up to turn the television off when things appeared which were evil. Now these people are no longer troubled. They can sit down, they can stay away from church, and they can enjoy ungodliness hour after hour. There's no longer a love of truth among them. The Lord says, nevertheless, let the church preach the Word. And let not the church be paralyzed into inactivity. For my sake, continue with a heart of zeal to preach the Word. And the calling to you is this: abide in faithful attachment to Jesus Christ. Yes, opposition will come. It will come to you. But the Lord will be faithful unto you. The Lord will keep you. And so He calls us to endure. "He that overcometh, the same shall be saved," says the book of Revelation. That's not by our strength. That's by the strength of the Lord through faith. We shall overcome, according to the book of Revelation, by the blood of the Lamb, and by loving not our lives, even unto death. We shall overcome by looking unto Him who has suffered and died and now lives in our hearts. Stand today. Live in attachment to Jesus Christ. Count all things worthless, save for the excellency of Christ and His Word. And Christ is going to keep you even unto the end. Be thou faithful even unto death. God grant it. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, and we would pray that Thou wilt now seal it unto our hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom is all of our boast and glory, amen.